Here comes another edition of the Fantasy Guru Podcast featuring the latest news, player and team analysis, fantasy strategy, and much more. And now, here are the resident gurus, Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley.
Yes, indeed. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Fantasy Guru Podcast, now part of the Podcast One family. We're very excited about arriving on Podcast One and dropping all kinds of different information and different podcasts with you. I am FantasyGuru.com Managing Editor Joe Dolan. With me today, a very special guest, FantasyGuru.com Senior Writer Tom Brawley. And we did want to start this podcast, which is going to be, an interesting one. We did a draft down in Washington, D.C. this past weekend, a PPR snake draft with some of the best minds in the fantasy industry. But since we're new to the Podcast One Network, I also thought it was important to kind of introduce ourselves, introduce what we're going to do on these podcasts. As I said, I am FantasyGuru.com Managing Editor Joe Dolan. I'm going into what is my eighth season with the company, and we have a lot of great things happening at FantasyGuru.com. We have a major site redesign and overhaul that will be rolled out soon with improvements coming over the next couple of months and into next year. This is something that's going to take us forward, and I'm very excited about it. But we're also, because we're on the Podcast One family, we're going to have all kinds of different podcasts. Obviously, you heard our last podcast, which was our flagship podcast, Tom, I would say, the John Hansen and Greg Cosell podcast, The Film Breakdown. For my money, it's the best football podcast out there, not just fantasy podcast. But we're also going to have you and I on here, our guy Paul Kelly, our new quantitative analyst, our senior analyst, Graham Barfield. He's going to be part of it, and we can have special guests on as well.
I do a weekly through the waiver wire.
It used to be Through the Wire. Now it's Down to the Wire.
Down to the Wire. It's a waiver wire podcast that we'll do every Tuesday morning, me and Paul Kelly. We'll have that every week. Very informative. I am Tom Brawley, if you didn't know. FG_Brawley. It's pretty exciting to be on Podcast One now with the likes of Shaq and Adam Carolla's and your personal favorite, Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin is on Podcast One. He is my colleague now, officially. Tom threw out his Twitter handle at FG_Brawley. I am FG_Dolan. You can follow us. We're always available there. People say, what's the best way to get in touch with us? That is certainly it. My phone is attached to me. I have multiple Twitter columns open, so I'm always getting questions and notifications.
And I guess I should introduce myself a little bit, too. Yeah, I've been with the company, FantasyGuru.com, since 2012. This will be my fourth season. I work closely with Joe and John with a lot of the articles that you'll see on the website, especially the waiver wire one during the season. We do the stock watch, a lot of the game centers, and, I'll be on here on podcast too.
Yeah, this is going to be really a lot of fun, and we've really streamlined our podcast recording process. It's a little bit behind the scenes, but one thing we're really hoping for is that the audio quality lives up to the expectations of people. And just another reminder, if you were a podcast listener, listen to Tom and Paul or my podcast in the past, or the John and Greg podcast, we have a new feed. We will be promoting that on our Twitter accounts and also the site Twitter account, which is at Fantasy Guru Site. You need to resubscribe. We just had to get a new feed now that we're part of the Podcast One family. And, you can also access...
Give us a good review, too. We could use those. Those always help.
They do help. And I know the audio quality was kind of a complaint.
Yes. And now that's a positive now. So let us know if you like the quality of these now.
Yes, certainly. Just give us a subscription. Give us a good review. And also, you can access us if you don't do the iTunes thing. You could use a third-party podcast app. A lot of people have asked, what about Android? Download the official Podcast One app. We are accessible on there. It has a search feature. Or you can access via the web, www.podcastone.com/fantasy-guru. So let's get started.
Yeah, with all that out of the way.
With all of it out of the way. So this past weekend, Tom and I were invited to join the Fantasy League of Experts, FLEX, kind of a backronym, I guess, league draft. It's a 12-team PPR snake-style draft that we participated in down in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
They also have other ones. They had an auction draft that you guys got to call. I helped out with that, and they'll have one up in New York, too.
Yes, so it's all over the place. These are set up and run beautifully by Jake Seeley of RotoExperts.com.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
And Jake is the only participant in all of the leagues, but he set these up, and he tries to get a diverse group of minds in there and some of the best minds in the fantasy industry. So what we did was we went down to the SiriusXM offices, and I got to thank everybody down there, Tim Reardon, Tristan Plunkett, Phil Backert, for their help in producing and getting us on air.
Giving us a nice room. Nice
Very
setup
nice
to,
room.
To do the draft, too.
It went unbelievably smoothly, and of course, I broadcast with my co-host, Matt Campum. I participated in the draft, so I thought that gave a unique perspective. I was both analyzing and participating in the draft. I was able to go through my thought process. But we also, as Tom mentioned, broadcast an auction earlier in the day, and I was a little hesitant to know how auctions translate to radio, but Steve Gardner of USA Today participated as the auctioneer. He wasn't in the draft, but he was the auctioneer. He did a remarkable job, and he had never done it before, but he was both clear and very succinct. He was efficient, and we managed to get the entire auction done in 3 hours, which was the time allotted to us, which was incredible. And then after that, the PPR flex snake draft was simple. It was so easy. Just one person at a time makes a pick.
And you got to lead it off.
I did.
You had the number one pick. So take us through your thinking there. Yeah, you know, it's pretty widely accepted that there's the three top guys at the, you know, with between Antonio Brown, Odell
right.
Beckham, and Julio Jones. So what were you thinking on that first
pick? So I did get the first overall pick, and it was very beneficial to me. I have been saying since I started seeing the way draft boards are shaking out this year that early in the draft, Tom, is the best place to pick.
Absolutely.
And one thing I want is one of those three receivers.
We've gotten questions like, where would you prefer to draft? And I always say, somewhere in that top three.
1 to 3, depending on where you like to pick coming back, 10, 11, 12 in the second round. I did pick number one. And no, I don't think, Tom, it is cut and dry. I don't think it's a guarantee that Antonio Brown is the guy. I think you can make an argument that
absolutely.
Julio Jones or Odell Beckham gives you a little bit of a better option, or maybe diversifies your portfolio, if you will, if you already have some Antonio Brown. But I honestly didn't have Antonio Brown yet. So it is a PPR draft. I took him at number one overall. He caught 136 passes last year. The one concern I have, and it is valid, I think, is that Ben Roethlisberger, when he was out last year, Antonio Brown's production plummeted. Now, he wasn't worthless. It just wasn't great. It wasn't the Antonio Brown we know. And Ben Roethlisberger is a quarterback who has had injury problems.
Yes, he puts himself into some spots to get hurt. So.
And the last couple years prior to 2015, he had kind of gotten away from that. I think he played two nearly full seasons. And then last year, what was it? He had so many injuries, I don't even remember.
He had a concussion issue. He
MCL.
Rolled up in the Rams game. And
I think he had the
shoulder injury, too.
Shoulder. I mean, the guy just gets beat up. It's the way he plays. And that is a concern. And also, Julio Jones, Tom, caught 136 passes last year as well. So he would have been more than acceptable as a number one overall pick. But I decided to go with Antonio Brown. He has been the most consistently elite player in fantasy football over the last three seasons. He is still young. I don't think he's entirely a product of Ben Roethlisberger. Certainly, if Ben Roethlisberger goes down, he's an elite quarterback. Antonio Brown's numbers are going to follow. But the fact of the matter is, if Ben Roethlisberger had stayed healthy the entire year last year, Antonio Brown might have caught 150 passes. Who knows what the ceiling would have been? And that floor combined with that ceiling made the pick easy for me. I took Antonio Brown. But now I also want to go through the rest of the first round, introduce some of the participants. Picking second was Dan Dobish from VegasInsider.com.
He had the shocker of the first round here.
He took Todd Gurley in a PPR draft at number two overall.
I mean, I can kind of see that if it's a non-PPR. And we think Gurley is going to be a better receiver this year. We think he's capable of doing
it. He's more than capable.
Yeah, but, you know, those opportunities just weren't there for him this last year. They had a bad quarterback situation. It should be improved this year, but still, I have a tough time taking Gurley over Julio or Odell. I think it goes for me personally, it's Brown, Jones, Odell at this point, and it's a pretty distant fourth for Gurley and the other receivers.
Tom, we got the draft with a WWE wrestler. Eric Young, Showtime Eric Young of World Wrestling Entertainment, NXT.
It's great to meet him. I don't follow the wrestling world at all, but Eric's apparently very popular, so it was pretty nice to meet him. We were even at a bar on Friday night, and the bartender comes over to him and... Is this Eric Young?
Is this the guy? He showed his picture on his phone. And yes. He goes, is this your friend?
I can hear his voice from anywhere.
And he's like, that's my friend. Yes. Great meeting you, EY. Loves fantasy football. I mentioned this on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio with John Hansen. There are two groups of people that I have noticed love fantasy football more than anybody else on planet Earth. It's professional wrestlers and professional baseball players. They love fantasy football. And I think I understand it. They're constantly on the road.
Well, that, and they're in, you know, they're with a lot of other guys. They're in a club, you know, a clubhouse with 24 other guys in baseball. You get to, you know, have a lot of downtime. You're there for early BP or pitching, and you got a lot of time to blow between that and
exactly.
your game.
And they're on the road. They need a distraction. Yep. Fantasy football provides that distraction.
162 days is a long time.
These guys are into it more than anybody I know. And EY. I think gets a gift here at number three, which I think he expected. He got Odell Beckham.
I was going to say Jake Seeley was the one that really got a
yes.
gift
now,
at number four.
Odell Beckham, look, I don't know what else I could say. He's clearly one of the top three picks. 96 catches for 1,450 yards, 13 touchdowns, big plays and a lot of catches. A huge ceiling, very high floor as well. Jake Seeley, Drew, when he was complaining before the draft, he said, hey,
I'll trade.
I set these leagues up. He said, I set these leagues up. And you know I'm not gaming the system because I drew the number four pick, and he hates the number four
Unless
pick.
Unless he was talking to Dan before the draft, and Dan told him he was going to go number two with Todd Gurley. That's the only thing. I don't. Maybe there was some insider, some trading there.
This is a gift. You won't see this, I'm guessing, in most of your hometown drafts. If you do...
Well, some hometown, I could see it happening.
A girly
running backs
or
are still...
Somebody
I mean, we're seeing a lot of industry drafts here that receivers are just flying off the boards in the first couple rounds. Running backs haven't been as popular as they have in the past, obviously, because last year, you know, all the early running backs really killed a lot of people. But, you know, the lesser players, if you want to call them that, the hometown players... They might still prefer to go running back in the first round. So, you know, it's possible we see Gurley go in those first couple picks.
Well, Jake Seeley got the gift of the draft. He got a guy who had 203 targets last year in Julio Jones. He caught 136 passes. And, Tom, I don't really see his role decreasing all that much. I think Mohamed Sanu is a good player. And I think he's going to be an interesting guy to see what happens for fantasy. But Julio Jones is the number one. He is not any threat to lose that kind of volume.
Are we convinced Sanu's a number two? I mean, he's probably a number three playing a number two, and they have absolutely nothing behind him. I mean, they have a kid that we kind of like, Justin Hardy, but he's just a slot type. They have nothing at tight end with Tammy and
Hardy.
I mean, it's still a great situation for Julio to catch a ton of passes in. Matt Ryan is going to be locked in on him again.
Well... Julio Jones at four is a steal, and if you have the fourth pick in your hometown drafts and one of those three receivers is there, and I'm talking, Tom, not just PPR, I'm talking standard.
Oh, yeah.
If one of those three guys is there, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, or Julio Jones, you have an easy call.
Don't
make the pick.
Twice.
Number five was Jamie Eisenberg of CBSSports.com. A lot of you read his work, I'm sure. He had probably the first real decision of the draft after the Dan Dobbs shocker at number two, and he chose A.J. Green after Julio Jones comes off the board at number five. I tend to like that pick. That's my number four receiver, although I do view him a tier below the other guys.
Oh, absolutely.
I think...
I lean more towards DeAndre Hopkins, but either one of those guys I'm happy to get in the middle of the first round.
Here's another shocker. Maybe not a shocker, but maybe a surprise. Jen Ryan of footballdiehards.com. She picks at number six, and she takes Dez Bryant. Now, I have had problems this year evaluating Dez Bryant. The guy had a lost season last year. 31 catches in 9 games. Obviously, he had the foot injury. Tony Romo was injured.
I'm going to say that's my bigger worry is more about Tony Romo this season.
And back injuries don't go away. No. Tony Romo's, what, 36 now?
Collarbone injuries. I suffered two collarbone injuries in high school. I mean, My shoulders are still screwed up. I was at yoga last night trying to do these arm twists, and my right shoulder's still screwed up from 12 years ago. So, I mean, collarbones and back injuries, they don't go away.
No, and the other argument, though, Tom, is our guy Mike Horn at FantasyGuru.com, who does a lot of analytical articles, says so many things went wrong with Dez Bryant last year that you should just throw it out if you're factoring that into your analysis. You should just say, look, all right, maybe I have some valid concerns. I certainly have some valid concerns about Dez Bryant, but last year, everything went wrong. And then if you look at it from that angle, Tom, this is a guy who in 2012 played all 16 games, scored 12 touchdowns. 2013, played all 16 games, scored 13 touchdowns. 2014, played all 16 games, scored 16 touchdowns.
41 touchdowns in three seasons.
If the Cowboys upgrade their backup quarterback situation, and I know they've talked to the Browns about Josh McCown.
Yes.
I would feel a lot better about
that.
That
makes me feel a lot better. But still, I'm not willing to take a first round, middle of the first round pick on him. You know, I'll start to consider him maybe after, maybe around the 10th pick. 10th and lower. And that's where I start to feel more comfortable with Dez at this point.
And we're going to talk about your strategy because we will be getting to you in a little bit. The number 7 overall pick belonged to John Halpin of Fox Sports. And maybe somebody he wasn't really expecting to be there was DeAndre Hopkins. I remember talking to him at the draft, and he had expected he was going to have to make a call on A.J. Green. But DeAndre Hopkins falls to number 7 in the first round. And we're talking about a player, Tom, who had 111 catches last year and 191 targets. Now, the Texans believe, certainly, they've upgraded the quarterback spot with Brock Osweiler, but they've also upgraded around Hopkins. They presumably will have a more effective run game with Lamar Miller. They drafted Will Fuller in the first round to provide a deep threat to the offense. They drafted Braxton Miller. They still have Cecil Shorts coming back. And reportedly, Jalen Strong, their third-round pick last year, is having an excellent camp. He's going to be able to play a slot role, much like we've seen Marcus Colston with the Saints in the past, Jordan Matthews with the Eagles, that bigger body receiver to exploit mismatches. Are you concerned with all the changes in the Texans' offense as it relates to DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I mean, he could get off to a slow start. It wouldn't surprise me if it takes a few weeks for this Texans offense to really click. And you do worry a bit with the all of a sudden they have some decent weapons around them. But, you know, you look through those names, there's nobody that's really going to be taking away a ton of targets from him. I'm not too concerned. He's still my number 4 guy. I know you like AJ a little more. I like AJ a ton this year, too. But, you know, if I have that 4th or 5th pick and DeAndre's there, I'm going to go with him.
Well, he bottomed out at 6 targets in a game last year in Week 14. As a matter of fact, he had 3 consecutive games where he had fewer than 10 targets in Weeks 12, 13, and 14.
But that's when they had the major QB issues. That's
exactly. Every other game, he had at least 11 targets.
That was Yates and Hoyer. I mean, they had a whole slew of injuries at that point. So that's when he looked his worst. But you would hope the QB situation's, you know, in much better hands this time around with Osweiler.
I would think ideally the Texans don't want to give DeAndre Hopkins 191 targets. I mean, I don't think any team wants to do that. They want to be able to distribute the ball a little bit better.
But you know, you're hoping they have a better running game. Those targets become more efficient targets. Maybe he loses 20 to 30 targets, but maybe those targets become more efficient with a better running game.
Yeah, he caught 111 out of 191, actually under a 60% catch rate. That's kind of...
No, that's not
efficient of what you
I
like to see.
60 to 61 is the league average, and that's, you know, you want your elite receivers to be well above league average.
And DeAndre Hopkins, of course, has, for my money, Tom, the best ball skills in the NFL. He'll be able to come down with the ball in the end zone. He's going to continue to score touchdowns, so I still think he's a very valid first-round pick. Keep this in mind as well. The Houston Texans ran the most plays in the NFL last year. Bill O'Brien was also in the top 10 in his first year with Houston. So there's volume here. So it's not just, okay, he's the only receiver worth a damn. This year they're hoping he's not. But there's still that volume. And Bill O'Brien has shown the last 2 years with poor quarterback play that he's going to run a ton of plays. So there's a lot of volume to go around. And that's why people are high on Lamar Miller as well. Steve Gardner, I mentioned he was the auctioneer in our auction draft, the Flex League's auction draft down on SiriusXM Fantasy. He had another interesting pick, because all the elite receivers, I think, are off the board, unless you view Allen Robinson in that regard, and we'll get to him. Steve Gardner takes David Johnson as the second running back off the board. I know there's some out there who like David Johnson better than Todd Gurley. I understand that. I think Gurley has a more guaranteed role, but Johnson, Tom, does more things. We saw that at the end of last year.
And he's in a much better offense, too.
But if you want to talk about warts, every single running back has one, especially if you're taking him in the first round.
He's got a Chris Johnson wart on him.
And I don't know what Arizona's doing there. I know we had the...
I think it's about preservation. I really think it's about preservation. They want him to last 16 games. We even heard a little bit this week about, you know, Deion Lewis. There was talk about they want to preserve him more this year. You know, that's why they're not rushing him back. And I really feel like that's why Chris Johnson is still involved, even though he's not nearly the player, not even close to being the player that David Johnson is. I feel like this is a preservation move.
Very, very much so. If you're going to be taking a running back in the first round this year and you're in a really competitive league, be prepared to answer questions about your strategy, because everybody is questioning every single running back out there. And I think last year, our guy Graham Barfield at FantasyGuru.com, he said last year was bad for running backs, no doubt, but it's also kind of an outlier year. And I think we're going to see maybe a swing back to running backs next year. People just don't trust them this year. But be prepared to answer questions about the position if you're taking one in the first round. I haven't preferred to if I could avoid it.
But sometimes you can't, like me at the end. But
well,
we'll get to that.
Let's get to Steve Gallo, who had the number 9 pick, Tom. And I got to be completely honest with you, I don't get this one. He takes Le'Veon Bell in the
first
round.
Yeah, I was totally stunned. As you'll see my pick later in the draft, I didn't think that Ezekiel, I'll tell you, I took Ezekiel. I didn't think he was getting to me because I didn't see Le'Veon Bell going off the board before Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, there's been a lot of talk here. It's a very fluid situation, it seems like, with this 4-game suspension. But as we stand right now, he's suspended for 4 games. So taking a guy that's going to only, you know, play 12 games in the first, you know, top 9, I mean, that's a bit of a risk for me.
And in 3 NFL seasons, we've had 3 major injury issues with this guy as well. So I liked Le'Veon Bell a lot. I remember I was writing our contract year article over.
Where would you take him right now? Where would you start to feel comfortable with him?
I mean, the problem is, I don't know if I view Le'Veon Bell at a spot where I'd feel comfortable taking him. Because if he comes around to me in the second round, I might see a receiver I like better. Or we'll get to the guy I took at the 2-3 turn. I don't want to spoil anything, but I might like that guy a little bit better if I'm taking a running back.
That's,
so
that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, if you get one of those top 3 receivers in the first round, maybe that's the point where you start to feel, okay, I can take a shot on Le'Veon Bell coming back around at the late second.
Yeah.
But even then, it's a little bit of a risk.
A little dicey.
Yep.
Holden Kushner, FanDuel.com. He gets Allen Robinson at number 10 overall. I don't think you can have any real argument there. Tom, what I've noticed, though, before we get to your pick, is we always say every year there's 32 first-round picks in the NFL draft, but teams likely only have 15 first-rounders graded on their board. And at some point, you got to make the pick. And this year, I don't think fantasy players have 12 first-rounders on their personal boards. Now, some players' first-rounders might differ than other players, but I don't think every fantasy player has 12 first-rounders, and you're just hoping one of your guys falls to you if you pick at the back end of the first round. And let's talk about your strategy, because you had the number 11 pick. And before we get to who you picked here at 11 and the second pick in the second round, going into this draft, what was your expectation for this?
I really thought I would have to, you know, get one of the top, you know, the middle tier second you know, group of receivers there. You know, the guys after DeAndre Hopkins. I'm probably going to go after Allen Robinson. He's a guy I really haven't had in many drafts so far. I've done a few of them. But sitting at that 11 spot, I thought maybe Robinson might be there. Maybe this might be my first time owning him. But then he goes right off the board. So I've liked Ezekiel Elliott a lot. I think he's in a great situation. Obviously, the domestic violence situation and the hamstring that that cropped up in the first week of training camp, you know, those are situations that are, you know, a little sticky. You don't want your first-round pick to be in those situations. But I really feel good about Elliott and his potential this year. I loved watching him at Ohio State last year. He can do it all. He's a three down. I really like that he's a three down type. I feel like he could catch 40 to 50 balls and, he can stay on the field 60 to 70% of the snaps.
The vibes aren't great right now, but as we were discussing, if you're picking at the back end of the first round, especially if you're picking a running back, you're going to have to deal with some warts and hope that they overcome maybe some poor situations. Look, obviously with Elliott, the fact that he hasn't really practiced is a big concern. Certainly, the domestic violence allegations are serious. Now, the Cowboys don't believe they're true, but if somebody doesn't trust that organization on domestic violence, I certainly would understand that. They've given plenty of reason not to trust them. But you take Ezekiel Elliott right now. As of now, we cannot project him to miss any time. We just can't do it. Here's an interesting turn, the 12-13
turn. He's really like my third back off the board right now.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty decent spot.
You would take him ahead of Bell.
Yeah, I he's right behind
David Johnson.
David Johnson and Todd Gurley right now for me, personally. I mean, there's a bit of a drop there, but he's my number three right now.
Here's an interesting turn. Pat Mayo of the Fantasy Sports Network is picking 12 and 13 at that first, second round turn. And he gets two guys who I think most people have pegged as second-round picks. But you look at the rest of the board and you're like, who really is the first-round pick he should have taken here? He takes Mike Evans in the first round. Now, this is the first time I've seen Mike Evans go in the first round. Certainly the upside's there. He's coming off two very different seasons, two inefficient seasons. And the problem was last year, the inefficiency didn't come with touchdowns. He scored only three, but he had double-digit touchdowns as a rookie. And then he takes a guy who produces like a first rounder when he's on the field, but the soft tissue injuries are a big concern in Alshon Jeffrey. I don't want to get too far into what he did because, Tom, we can't just go through every pick. I just wanted to break down the first round.
And I really don't have an issue with those picks. I mean, I really...
Exactly. Who are you taking?
Yeah, after Allen Robinson, I really feel like there's a cluster of guys that are all kind of the same between Evans, Jeffrey, Hilton, Jordy Nelson, Keenan Allen, Marshall, Cooks. I mean, all those guys are kind of the same for me.
If you don't want to take a running back, and I understand not wanting to take a running back with one of your first two picks, I don't know how much better you can do at the back end of the first round unless somebody falls to you. And look, we're going to talk about my strategy coming around because I thought a guy fell to me that shouldn't have fallen to me. But unless somebody falls to you, you have to make the picks. You can't just say, oh, nobody's there, I won, not going to pick. You have to make them. Mm-hmm. And that's what Pat Mayo did. He went and got guys he thinks are going to bounce back from rough years. And I respect that. You have to make those calls. So, Tom, once again, not going to break down every pick the way we're doing, but I do want to talk to you about this because
I've seen a whole lot of receivers go off the board in front of me here.
You did not think coming into this draft that you were going to leave your first two picks without taking one wide receiver.
But I saw Gronk in that spot. I guess this is the 14th pick here. I thought, he's probably a type that's going to go off in that 9 to 12 range, and he didn't. And I draft based on what I think are great values, and I thought that was a pretty good value. He's the number one tight end whenever he's healthy, and the Tom Brady suspension is obviously, a little disconcerting. You don't know exactly what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do here. It would have been nice to maybe see a couple preseason games to get a feel of, how he's going to look in the offense. But I didn't have that chance to see him at least play a couple preseason games. But I still feel like he's by far and away the top tight end, and I feel like I get a positional value there.
So I pick number one overall. I'm waiting a long time between my picks. And when you pick number one overall, you have to try to visualize who might be there at the 2-3 turn. But I think visualizing is different than locking yourself into a strategy. I was thinking number one overall is the perfect opportunity to go receiver, receiver, receiver. Because I like some of those receivers who are available at the 2-3 turn. And some of the names that I had gone through, and I had actually kind of dropped it into this. I was expecting to get Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton, Amari Cooper, something like that. And I'd love that start. Well, both Hilton and Cooper went before my pick.
Hilton, they were flying off the board.
Hilton actually went off the board
right after me
as the third pick in the second round.
15th.
The earliest I've seen him go. Yep. The earliest. Holden Kushner.
We love him too.
And I love him. And look, yeah, that's the earliest I've seen him go, but it's a player I love. Holden Kushner went after somebody he loved. Yep. He's looking at some of the other receivers.
Which is something that happens a lot in these expert drafts. If there's somebody you want, you got to be a little more aggressive. And that's also a good strategy in your own leagues, in your hometown leagues. If there's somebody you want, it's sometimes you got to go a round earlier than you think they're going to be.
He's looking at Jordy Nelson. He's in his 30s coming off an ACL. Keenan Allen hasn't been able to stay healthy in his career. Brandon Marshall's in his 30s. And he was pretty touchdown heavy last year. A little concerned about that. Amari Cooper's a second-year player. Brandon Cooks hasn't kept it up for a full season. So he goes and gets T.Y. Hilton, likes his upside with Andrew Luck. So a few picks go by. And it gets to me at the back end of the second round. Two guys I didn't expect to be there are there for me. I got to be honest, Tom. I had a tougher time making the number one overall pick in this draft than I had making my two picks at the 2-3 turn. I took Brandon Cooks at 2-12. And then at 3-1, again, I thought this was a good opportunity to go receiver, receiver, receiver. I'm staring at Demaryius Thomas. I'm staring at Jarvis Landry and Randall Cobb. But I see a player here who is young, is coming off a great season. As a matter of fact, he was the number one overall guy at his position in terms of total points. He just turned 24. His team made an offensive line upgrade in the offseason. He isn't coming off an injury. So we're talking about a guy who's 24 in the same offense behind an improved offensive line who was the number one overall scorer.
What are you saying to me? Any other year, he'd be a top three pick?
Yes. Devontae Freeman was a third round pick for me.
Yep.
Now, I'm not locking myself into drafting a running back here. I'm not locking myself into not drafting a running back. I saw value here. Now, are fantasy players getting smarter?
Yeah, we don't know. because there's some red flags.
There are red flags with Freeman.
Tevin Coleman was slated to be the starter at the beginning of last year. He looked good. And then Freeman stole the job from him. He played well and took the job. And Freeman also didn't run very well at the end of last year.
He suffered a concussion in week 11. He missed week 12. Week 13, 3.4 yards per carry. Week 14, 3.3. Week 15, 2.2. Week 16, 3.3. Week 17, 3.4. Every single one of those is a concern.
Yes.
But he also topped 17 fantasy points in four of those five games I just mentioned because he's a great receiver.
Great receiver.
Tevin Coleman caught two passes last year. Two.
We went through the receivers with the Falcons already. It's not great still. Sanu's a number three play, number two, and they don't have anything else. Still good situation to catch passes.
Devontae Freeman in years past would be a no-doubt first-round pick. And I think it's a combination, Tom. I think fantasy players are getting smarter, but for some reason, Freeman is the guy who's getting knocked. Lamar Miller went ahead of him. Jamal Charles went ahead of him. As we sit here and speak right now, Jamal Charles isn't even off the pup list.
Yeah, their GM Dorsey's saying, we're optimistic they'll be ready for week one. That's usually not a great sign.
LeSean McCoy has the track record, but he missed four games last year. He went ahead of him. So, Le'Veon Bell, who, unless you are really a believer in his appeal, is guaranteed to miss four games, went a round and a half ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I view this as a rare opportunity to get a big-time scorer who is young. He's 24, not a lot of wear and tear on him. And I'm at a position where if all those warts hold him back,
it's still not going to cripple you.
I drafted two receivers I really like in a PPR format in Antonio Brown and Brandon Cooks. So I like this pick a lot. I'm very happy with it.
Should be happy with it.
Let's just run down some of the picks here in the second round and the third round. And let me remind people, we're not going to be going through every pick, but what I will do is for the show notes, I am going to put a link to the draft board.
Yeah, we'll link this, absolutely.
And
everybody can get a look at everybody's teams and how the draft board, you know, unfolded.
And I'll tweet it out when I tweet out the podcast. Dan Dobish here, with the second pick in the third round, I think makes a reach pick. As a matter of fact, I could argue that's his second reach pick in his first three picks. He takes Kelvin Benjamin. I have already expressed my
three of us picks Cooper before. I mean,
I
like
don't
Cooper.
Have a big issue with Cooper in the back.
I would
of
take
the
Cooks
round.
Over Cooper, but
I would take Cooks over Cooper. I think I might take Demaryius Thomas over Cooper, but I understand why
No, it's aggressive.
That's not a.
If you like the guy, go get him.
I've expressed my concerns with Kelvin Benjamin, but we're talking about a guy here who, in his rookie season, he missed all of last year.
Missed an injury.
In his rookie season, he was very inefficient and very garbage time heavy. He scored 11 touchdowns counting the playoffs. Six of those 11 touchdowns were scored with the Panthers down 13 or more points.
Yes.
This
now they have a better receiving.
This
core.
Was a 15-1 team last year. There wasn't that garbage time.
No garbage time opportunities.
We weren't able to hear, or see rather, Kelvin Benjamin's production with a better football team. And look, he was a rookie. He was a rookie. I have some concerns about Kelvin Benjamin, but maybe that's assuaged by the fact that he's getting experience, but he's also coming off an ACL. The second pick of the third round is way too aggressive on Kelvin Benjamin for my taste.
Yeah, I would. Much better options between like Landry, Thomas, Cobb, Watkins, that are all going behind him here.
Golden Tate went behind him. And every single one of those names, Tom, I'd take ahead of Kelvin Benjamin.
And the guy I ended up taking, Eric Decker, I'd take ahead of him too. And I didn't go receiver in the first two rounds, so I needed to go receiver heavy for my third and fourth pick. I get a guy, Eric Decker, who was a wide receiver one last year. He's been steady Eddie whenever, you know, he has decent quarterback play around him. You have to be a little bit worried. Fitzpatrick had a career year, but, you know, as our guy Greg Cosell has told us many times, Fitzpatrick had a little bit of luck on his side last year, a lot of contested balls. But when you're throwing to Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall, a lot of those contested balls end up going your way. So I think he's a great value. He's going to be, at the very least, I think he's going to have a decent floor. He's probably going to be a rock-solid wide receiver, too. You know, that's not ideal. I want wide receiver one, but the spot I drafted with Elliott and Gronkowski, it's going to be tough to get a wide receiver one. But I took major shots after, I took Decker here with Moncrief going in the fourth round. I have, huge expectations for him. He's going to be playing the X receiver in that offense that they're going to be running a lot more three wide receiver sets. He's going to get a lot of one-on-one matchups, playing with Andrew Luck. We saw him flash in his rookie and even last year with that, a tough quarterback situation. I really like his upside. He's still extremely young. He's only 23 years old. Guys like Josh Dotson are older than him that are coming into the league as rookies. He's a third-year guy, so he's got a huge ceiling. So I took a bit of a shot there in the fourth round with Moncrief, but I like his potential upside.
You have to go get players in drafts like this. And for all the same reasons we like T.Y. Hilton, great offense, huge efficiency, big plays. We like Moncrief for the same reasons, except Hilton has the greater track record, and that's why Hilton's going two rounds ahead of Dante Moncrief. So you open Elliott, Rob Gronkowski, Eric Decker, Dante Moncrief. I just want to highlight another couple teams at this point for some interesting starts. Pat Mayo, we said he opened with that interesting turn of Mike Evans, Alshon Jeffrey. His start is Evans, Jeffrey, Julian Edelman, and Jordan Reed. So he doesn't have a single running back through his first four picks, and he has a lot of injury concerns on this team. Evans, Jeffrey, these are guys who have missed time the last couple years. Certainly Edelman, he just had a scare at practice this week for the Patriots. And Jordan Reed, we know about his history, both concussions and a soft tissue. But there's a lot of upside there for Pat Mayo. Steve Gallo of the Huddle, his first four picks are very interesting to me. Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson, that's an old school start for Steve Gallo. Then he takes Golden Tate as his number one receiver. Does Tate take a little bit of a hit with the Anquan Boldin signing? I don't think so.
I think he does a little bit.
It doesn't scare me badly, though.
No, but I feel like there might be a fewer catches there. I think people might be underselling what Boldin does. I mean, his skills, what little skills he has, haven't diminished that much. He doesn't win with finesse. It's all physicality, and I think he's going to be a little bit more of a factor than we think.
John Brown is his number two receiver. Now, this is the guy I was begging would come back around to me at the 4-5 turn. He didn't. This is a guy I have on every single one of my best ball teams thus far, literally everyone. He is going earlier and earlier in drafts, and as a matter of fact, he is the first Arizona Cardinal receiver taken, and I think you're going to see them go in all different orders in your hometown drafts, in industry drafts. I prefer Brown the most of that group. I know there's plenty of smart people who prefer Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, in PPRs, you might prefer Fitzgerald. And in non-PPRs, you might prefer Floyd the most out of the group.
Exactly. So Brown was very efficient last year, but he hit a lull in the second half. And I think that's just the nature of this offense. They're kind of as efficient and as effective as the Cardinals are, there's just one football. Mm-hmm. So they're sucking production from each other. It's going to happen. But I love Brown. Jake Seeley actually takes Larry Fitzgerald here in the fourth round over at pick number 9 of the fourth round. And then it gets back to me. I wasn't thrilled with this turn, Tom. I was hoping maybe a CJ Anderson would fall to me, a player who I think is a little bit undervalued at this point. But I see I have two smaller receivers. I go for some size. Jordan Matthews is the 30th wide receiver off the board. He's my fourth round pick at 412. I'm okay with that. I'm a little concerned about the Eagles offense, but Matthews, though he's sitting out right now with a bone bruise, he avoided serious injury. He is still their best receiver, and it's not close. So he's going to have some targets here.
Wide receiver, that is. Well, I think Ertz will challenge him for the catch lead.
Now, my fifth round pick, this is a guy who I took way earlier than I would have preferred, but I am attacking here, and I'm going for DeVante Parker. I had serious designs on taking Tyler Lockett here, but I honestly went to the term I used earlier, diversify my portfolio. I haven't had Parker in any leagues this year.
You had a lot of catch-heavy guys, too, going in the first four rounds.
And Parker is a guy who, Tom, closed the season in Week 17 last year with a 21-point fantasy point game. He had double-digit fantasy points in 5 of his last 6 games. So he came on after coming back from the injury. The problem is he's already dealing with injuries. And I've tweeted this out. I wonder if I'm going to regret taking him over an Emmanuel Sanders or a Tyler Lockett. Carlos Hyde goes in as the fourth pick of the fifth round to Jake Seeley. I think that's a pretty nice value. Here are some of the other names coming off the board. Tyler Lockett comes off the board to Jamie Eisenberg, and we'll talk about his team a little bit later because I really like how it shook out. And Tom, getting back to you, a guy the industry is kind of down on here.
Yep.
You take Matt Jones as the 11th pick of the fifth round.
Yeah, the guy I really wanted one pick ahead of me at Woodhead, Danny Woodhead. Holden Kushner got him one slot ahead of me there. I was a big fan of Matt Jones coming into last year. I really like his skill set. He obviously had the fumbling issues were the major, major, major issue for him. They kept him off the field. But I look at that Redskins backfield, and there's just not a whole lot there. And, you know, this late into the fifth round, I guess it is, I needed a second running back. And, you know, he has a lot of upside, and there's all obviously a little downside with his fumbling issues. He could stay off the field. But I took another swing for the fence with Matt Jones.
And then you come back around and you take Kevin White, which I think is a completely defensible pick. I mean, you're just gambling on upside here.
Yeah, he's the 37th receiver off the board at this point. You know, that's, you know, wide receiver 4. I'm hoping that, you know, this guy was the number 7 pick in 2015. He's a freak. Hopefully he's back to full strength. You know, he could be a little bit raw to start the year. But, you know, I'm hoping maybe by the time the middle of the season rolls around, he's starting to hit a stride and is a major factor.
Pat Mayo continues to have maybe the most interesting team in this draft. Not only was he the second player to take a tight end, he was the first player to take a quarterback. He takes him in with the first pick of the 6th round, and he takes Andrew Luck as the first quarterback off the board. We actually have Luck 3rd at FantasyGuru.com behind Rodgers
and Newton. If you followed us long enough, you know we're huge Andrew Luck fans.
And he was also the last player to take a number 1 running back. He takes Arian Foster as his number 1 running back. 5th round, Tom, that is way too early for me. I'm not messing with Arian Foster at that
That's a guy we won't be taking. I have no interest.
I don't really know where I take him. I don't know. Another team.
A spot that I won't be willing to take him in.
Because
somebody else will value him more. I guess if you had to put a number to it, I guess maybe starting in the sixth or seventh round. But even then, I'd still feel a little skeptical.
I'd have to feel great about my team up to that point where I'm like...
Like, I'm going to take a swing for the fences with my third running back. It would have to be my third running back.
Speaking of a swing for the fences, with the ninth pick of the fifth round, Steve Gallo, who you might remember, took Le'Veon Bell in the first round, takes Josh Gordon. Do not like pairing those two guys, Tom. Especially when you have to spend a fifth round pick on Gordon. What is that Brown offense going to look like?
What's his offense going to look like? Two guys that are suspended both for the first four games of the year. I hope I play him in the first 4 weeks. I hope the scheduling gods have
graced us with Steve Gallo's presence. No offense, Steve. I love you.
Yeah, we love you, Steve.
But that is a gamble and a half. He does take Travis Kelce, who I thought wanted to come back around to me at the turn. Some more picks going off the board. Marvin Jones. Willie Snead goes in the sixth round. Jen Ryan takes him. He's going to be undervalued in your hometown drafts. The industry is all over Willie Snead. He was efficient and effective last year. Cam Newton's the second quarterback off the board. He goes to Jamie Eisenberg. Another guy. I'll be breaking down Jamie's team later because I don't think you could come with a more ideal team from a mid-slot than he did. And it comes back around to me in the sixth round. Frank Gore, I'll take all day in the sixth round. He's my number two running back. There's no competition for touches, and he's not going to hurt me as a sixth-round pick if he's the same guy he was last year. I'll take that on my team. And you expect they'll be better this year if Andrew Luck stays healthy. And then I took a swing for the fences. I took Kobe Fleener. Now, this is my second Saint pass catcher in my first seven picks after Brandon Cooks.
Go Drew Brees.
And, of course, they signed John Kuhn, who's going to score 48 touchdowns this year. And everybody's going to be screaming their heads off. But I think look what Drew Brees did for Ben Watson's career. And now Ben Watson's had a longer, more productive career than Kobe Fleener. But they paid big money for Kobe Fleener. They believe in this guy. I'll take the touchdown upside here.
Oh, and he's an athletic freak. And, you know, he's had the drop issues. Obviously, that's the top thing when it comes to Kobe Fleener. But, you know, he's going to be on the field a lot more than he was with the Colts. You know, I feel like the mouths that are in the Saints offense, you know, there's not quite as many as there were with the Colts. You know, if he's going to be playing 80 to 90% of the snaps, there's definitely a high ceiling here.
Back to you, Tom, at the back end of the seventh round and the top of the eighth. This is where I'm pretty sure I told you I hated that you were in this draft with me. You took Charles Sims.
I know. He's a guy that you really love. I really like, too. You know, it's a great situation there and with the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, Doug Martin doesn't do a whole lot as a receiver. You know, Sims takes a lot of those responsibilities. So in a PPR format, I feel pretty good that Sims could be a flex option, you know, catch four or five passes a game. Then if Doug Martin would ever, you know, God forbid, he would ever go down with an injury, all of a sudden Sims steps up and, you know, starts seeing 20 to 25 touches in a game and becomes a, you know, RB1.
This isn't a handcuff pick. Charles Sims is not a handcuff.
He is independent value.
He played 42% of the Buccaneers snaps last year. Basically, the Buccaneers had only two running backs worth a damn last year. Nope. Really played it all in Doug Martin and Charles Sims.
And it's still the case this year. They haven't had anybody there.
So Charles Sims last year, he puts up double-digit fantasy points in a PPR in 8 of his 16 games. So what we're pairing a guy here is a guy who has a reasonable floor as, at least if you're dying on a week, you can put him in as a flex. It's
Absolutely.
A PPR league. And his ceiling is top 5 if Doug Martin gets hurt.
Yep.
So that is an ideal 7th round pick, in my opinion, because you're pairing both a floor
29th
and
running back off the board.
That's a great pick. You take Sammy Coates in the 8th round.
That's another. I've waited to get receivers. I'm going aggressive. I like everything that I'm hearing out of Steelers camp. Yeah, I've never been a fan of Marcus Wheaton. You know, he did have a nice stretch down in 2015 from week 12 on, but all the vibes coming out of Steelers camp is if Sammy Coates wants this job, he's got it, and everything that's coming out that he's taking full advantage of his opportunities so far.
Once again, you're not going to see Sammy Coates go in the 8th round of your hometown drafts.
No.
But you got to go attack players in these industry drafts. Comes back around to me. I'm pretty happy with what happened to me in the 8th, 9th round. I got Stephon Diggs. He's my number 5 receiver. turns out, I mean, this guy could be my number three, maybe even my number two by the end of the year if he enacts on some of that potential. He's reportedly had a great camp thus far. I prefer him to Laquon Treadwell, who actually went the pick immediately before I took Stephon Diggs at the
back. Yeah, I was probably Treadwell before I started reading some of these reports the last week or so. And, you know, they have Treadwell playing behind Charles Johnson here. It sounds like they're going to ease him into the offense the first couple weeks of the season. So now I think I would prefer Diggs over Treadwell. But obviously, a lot of preseason to go. Treadwell starts lighting it up here in the first couple games, and, you know, maybe that call change.
I take Theo Riddick, who caught 80 passes last year, as my first pick of the ninth round. He is my number three running back. And then you're going to see I'm going to go with some different types of running backs here to fill out the rest of my roster. Just as a side here, you're seeing how late the quarterbacks last in these industry drafts, and you cannot follow these as your template. That being said, what you can do is follow the strategy.
We even had some guys take quarterbacks with their last overall pick. You're not going to see that in your hometown draft. I mean, and it's their first quarterback.
Their first quarterback. Yeah. Drew Brees went in the ninth round to Jake Seeley. That's not happening in your hometown draft. Now, I have
these expert drafts. It's basically a game of chicken with these quarterbacks. Who's going to blink first?
And look, I took Frank Gore and Kobe Fleener with Aaron Rodgers on the board.
Yeah.
I didn't want to blink. I blinked last year with Andrew Luck, and it hurt me.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm, as you said, playing chicken. Maybe I'm holding a grudge against the position because of what happened to me in these drafts last year. But I just did not want to. And
if you know the other guys aren't going to be taking quarterbacks, you know you can still get a great value in the early 10th, 11th, 12th round.
It worked for me. But Drew Brees goes off in the ninth round. Not happening in your hometown drafts. But he is still a nice value. He was the sixth quarterback off the board, and he's been a top five quarterback for the last 10 years.
Yeah, the picks came around to me. I was hoping that Brees would last to me, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah, if he did, it would have been absurd.
Yes. So I ended up going with DeAndre Washington in the ninth round. Another very aggressive pick.
And another guy I wanted.
Yeah. Latavius Murray, you know, it was a mixed tape last year. It was a pretty bad tape, but, you know, he was the workhorse for them. We'll see what happens this year. It might take a couple weeks, but we think DeAndre Washington, if he's capable here, he's going to be their guy by the middle of the season. So that's a guy I can stash. He's my fourth running back. And then Carson Palmer there in the 10th round. You know, he's my number six quarterback, I guess, at this point. And to get him in the 10th round here, I had to do it. I finally blanked. You know, with so many picks in between, that was, I mean, I would have had to wait, I think, about 22 picks before my next one. So I was like, I have to take a quarterback at this point. So I pulled the trigger.
So Palmer was the last quarterback I had really targeted. I was into Eli Manning as well, but Eric Young takes him two picks before I pick in the 10th round. And here's where I take advantage of the format. So the flex leagues is one quarterback, two running back, three wide receiver, two flex, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and a defense. There's no kickers in this league. Nice. As Jake Seeley reminded
Thank you, Jake.
Me.
Thank we you, love Jake. It.
We love it. I don't like picking up kickers. It's just an annoyance
just dropping
to me.
And adding kickers all season long. Yeah.
Nobody has fun doing that. So I pair Antonio Gates with Kobe Fleener here, and I kind of like this because I feel like Gates can fill a flex spot for me if he's Phillip Rivers' go-to guy in the red zone once again. And once again, I don't think he has the ceiling Fleener has, but I think Fleener kind of bookends him in that Fleener's floor is lower than Antonio Gates.
Now, if you hadn't taken Jordan Matthews earlier in the draft, would you have taken Ertz over Gates?
Yes, I prefer Zach Ertz to Antonio Gates, but I tier them similarly. I did not want to tie up that much of my team into the Eagles offense.
Yeah, after you already tied up.
After I took
the Saints
Jordan
offense,
Matthews,
too.
Yes. Yeah, I did not
want
to have.
And Cook.
Exactly. I did not want to have two Eagles and two Saints on my team. Now, this is why you have to be fluid with your draft board. You can't just say, oh, I have this guy ranked higher. I do have Zach Ertz higher on my personal board than Antonio Gates, but I just did. Zach Ertz to me and Jordan Matthews are going to siphon each other this year. And I think it limits both their ceiling a little bit, and
yeah,
I did not want
two of them in a given week. Yeah,
I did not want to dabble with that. I come back in the 11th round, and I'm just taking shot on upside at this point. I take a guy I don't love in Derrick Henry, but I certainly don't love DeMarco Murray. That's a player. DeMarco Murray's a player. I don't know where I'd draft him this year, and that tells me if I don't know where I draft him, I'm probably just not drafting him at all.
Yeah, probably you're not into him very much.
Yes, so I take Derrick Henry here. This is where You had taken Palmer. EY had taken Eli Manning. And I decide...
A drop in your tier quarterbacks.
My drop in my tier quarterbacks, I can wait to take a quarterback here. And it worked out beautifully for me. Because I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a second tight end. Because I can essentially use the guy as a receiver, as a wide receiver. And then there was a run on tight ends before I would pick again. Zach Ertz comes off the board. Dwayne Allen comes off the board. We see Zach Miller come off the board. Jason Witten comes off the board. Will Ty comes off the board. Jimmy Graham comes off the board. Tom, I skipped over you, and you took, again, upside receivers.
Yeah, Chris Hogan with all the Edelman stuff. I mean, obviously came out later this week. Yeah. He almost had the foot scare there. You know, that's a guy I think, you know, he could potentially play on the outside, you know, as their ex receiver and two wide receiver set. So, you know, he has some independent value. And then whenever Edelman, you know, eventually has his issues, which it always seems to happen, Hogan could be, you know, a wide receiver too, you know, on my bench. And I took the rookie that we really liked out of Pittsburgh, Pitt. He went to Cincinnati as a second-round pick, Tyler Boyd. He's not going to wow you with, you know, game-breaking skills or anything like that. But,
certainly not.
But he's a great complimentary guy to play across from A.J. Green. You know, he feels a lot like Marvin Jones, you know, a replacement for Marvin Jones, a type of guy that can, you know, scorch six touchdowns and catch you 60 to 70 passes.
Is there Anquan Boldin in Tyler Boyd's game?
I think a little bit. He's a little more athletic than that. But, he's the physical type.
Yeah, not as physical as Boldin.
A little more athletic, but he can be that dominant possession
Certainly,
receiver type.
If you're a fan of the mock draftable spider graphs, you were not a fan of Tyler Boyd, but he just understood how to play football. And look, you took him in the 12th round.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Taking a shot, and his 65th receiver off the board.
I finally took my quarterback. I took Kirk Cousins, the 11th quarterback off the board. He was my highest rated quarterback. And I'm fine with that. Maybe if you rejigger my team and I take Aaron Rodgers in the 7th round, maybe I like it better. Maybe I don't like it better. But I'm pleased with how my strategy worked out. I took the second tight end, anticipating a run on the position. I took a second tight end before many teams had taken one. So I was happy with that because I thought that's where the value was. I thought I can play a tight end as a flex. And Antonio Gates can catch passes.
That's two flex spots. I mean, that opens you up for that.
And it protects me, my Fleener investment a little bit as well. This is a guy I took in the 13th round, Tom, and we're certainly going to wrap up very quickly here. But a guy I took in the 13th round I will take on any team in a PPR league is Chris Thompson of Washington.
You know, we already talked about a little bit about the Redskins. I got Matt Jones there.
Yeah.
They're really the only two guys in that backfield right now. You know, obviously, things could change over the next couple weeks if they would sign a veteran or anything. But, you know, right now it really looks like Matt Jones is going to be their early down guy. Chris Thompson's going to be their receiver, and he has 50 to 60 catch potential.
I already have Theo Riddick on this team, and I think a lot of people ask, who's this year's Theo Riddick? Chris Thompson's the guy I'm picking out as this year's Theo Riddick. Now, I'm not saying he's catching 80 passes, but this is somebody I think I could plug in as my flex. Maybe he has that kind of upside, and I hope he does. I made a ceiling pick here because I thought he had a higher ceiling than the guy you ended up taking in the 14th round who was still on the board and I thought was a steal, and that's Shane Vereen.
Yeah, I really like that value, but, you know, he's a proven guy. He doesn't have as much potential as Chris Thompson, you'd say, but, you know, maybe in the second year of this offense, maybe they kind of figure out this rotation in the dang Giants backfield here. Let Rashad Jennings play the early downs and place Shane Vereen.
Fire Andre Williams into the sun. Please.
Let's go. Just get a regular rotation back there. So I got him in the 14th round. And actually, the pick before that, I got a little Gronk insurance.
Now, this is interesting. Let's talk about this strategy.
I just saw this coming to me, and I'm like, it makes all the sense in the world for me to take Martellus Bennett with the 13th pick. You know, he's a guy that has independent value. I could potentially play him in any given week, you know, if they start to use two tight ends as their primary offensive set here in New England. And then, you know, if Gronk would, you know, he has had his injury issues. If he goes down at any point this season, geez, Bennett becomes a top eight, top six potential, you know, fantasy tight end. So it's interesting. I have a kind of it's an insurance for Gronk. But he also has independent value.
Yeah,
so
can he be the Aaron Hernandez in this offense? And yep. I know,
as the move
still
guy.
Makes me feel icky to say that, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So just to wrap up here, I closed out my draft taking.
Oh no!
Rashad Perriman, complete upside pick.
Not Rashad.
I take a guy I hate, LeGarrette Blount, but he was the best value left on the board. Yes, I mean, he scored 7 touchdowns last year.
There was not the left running back, but we had to laugh whenever Joe took LeGarrette Blount. If you would hear the language that comes out of Joe's mouth whenever he talks about LeGarrette Blount in the office. Woo!
And then I took the Ravens defense as my final defense. It's a final pick. Actually, I wasn't paying attention, to be completely honest. I left the Eagles defense on the board, and the Eagles play the Browns in week 1. So maybe I'll try to make a waiver claim there. But the Ravens got him in week 2. And the Ravens are one of those defenses that has a really nice, favorable early season schedule. That's how I draft my defense.
Yeah.
I never draft the first defense off the board. This year, by the way, it's not like the Seahawks defense is going like 9th round like it did last year, or the Broncos defense. They're much more affordable this year, but I'm never the first guy to take a defense.
Absolutely not. I waited to the last pick to get mine with the Vikings. I believe they have the Titans in week 1. I really like that matchup.
And they have Patterson.
Yeah, and they have Patterson. You know, I might keep them around. I might not, but I'll play them at least week 1 against the Titans. And actually, the pick before that, I took a flyer on Camp God Terrence West.
I'm sure a player you love as much as I love.
Talk about a guy. I used to like him at watching Towson State back in the Division II playoffs.
Oh, you didn't have any reasons
Division
to watch.
Division I AA playoffs.
You didn't have any reasons to watch that game, those games.
Yeah.
Little investment.
Yes, but the last couple years, Terrence West has been on my crap list. But, this late is the 66th running back off the board. Either Terrence West will, maybe he transitions into being that early down back, or he's the first guy cut off my team.
So before we wrap this up, we actually went longer than we anticipated, which is a problem of mine. Let's go through our teams. Let's go through our rosters, Tom, not necessarily in order, but let's just discuss our rosters. I start with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. I have Devontae Freeman, Frank Gore, Theo Riddick, Derrick Henry, Chris Thompson, LeGarrette Blount at running back. I'm very happy with my wide receivers. Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, Jordan Matthews, Devontae Parker, Stephon Diggs, and Breshad Perriman. I think I'm very strong at tight end with Kobe Fleener and Antonio Gates. And I have the Baltimore Ravens defense. And now sliding over to your team, this is probably a more interesting team than you expected to be drafting. But you have Carson Palmer, Ezekiel Elliott, Matt Jones, Charles Sims, DeAndre Washington, Shane Vereen, and Terrence West at running back. You have Eric Decker, Dante Moncrief, Kevin White, Chris Hogan, Sammy Coates, and Tyler Boyd at receiver. You have the Patriots pairing of Gronk and Martellus Bennett in the Vikings defense. And
wow, that was way different than I could have ever expected going into that draft.
Both Patriot tight ends. Not a common strategy, but interesting. I'm very interested to see how it works out. And I wanted to highlight one team because I had the early picks, and we talked about my strategy. You had the back end of the first round. I wanted to talk about Jamie Eisenberg's team from CBS Sports just quickly before we sign off, because I thought this was about as ideal a team you can draft from the 5-hole as possible, right in the middle of the first round, sort of. He has Cam Newton at quarterback. He took him in the 7th round, I believe, which not happening in your hometown draft, or 6th or 7th round, not happening in your hometown draft. But he gets value there. At running back, he has Eddie Lacy, C.J. Anderson. He gets Thomas Rawls in the 7th round. All right, I don't love Rawls this year, but he's off the pup list. 7th round is a steal for the guy.
Obviously the pup list news came out after we drafted. So.
But that's a steal. Yep. So that's a little bit of timing there. He benefits from that, but that's a steal. Eddie Lacy, Thomas Rawls, C.J. Anderson, Tim Hightower, good handcuff. He has Jordan Howard of the Bears, Wendell Smallwood of the Eagles, T.J. Yeldon of the Jaguars. A massive upside at the running back position for him, including two guys who were first-round busts last year but are very affordable this year in Eddie Lacy and C.J. Anderson. At wide receiver, A.J. Green, Brandon Marshall, Tyler Lockett. Hello. That's an awesome 1-2-3. You have veterans, you have ceiling, and you have the explosive youngster there with Lockett. Anquan Boldin, Phillip Dorsett, Michael Thomas. Again, solid veterans and some upside.
Yep.
He has Zach Ertz at tight end, and he has the Cardinals defense. For my money, that's the team to be
on. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, that's about as solid as it gets. About the only guy I really, really wouldn't want on my team is Anquan Boldin, but even then, I can't fault him that was pretty late in the draft.
Once again, so. I got two guys on my team I don't want to
exactly.
So
I got Terrence West.
So I hope you enjoyed this. This was a breakdown of the Flex Fantasy League
Events. Once again, we'll have the link to the, you know, all the teams, all the draft results up on, with the link.
I'll put it in the show notes for iTunes. If you go to podcast1.com, spell out one, podcast1.com/fantasy-guru. That's where our entire feed is going to be. If you're on Android, download the Podcast One app. You could do that on iPhone as well. Subscribe to us on iTunes. We'll be tweeting out the link. If you search Fantasy Guru Podcast, I think we're the first result.
I would hope.
Yeah.
Somebody else has our name?
It's Fantasy Space Guru Space Podcast. That's our new name. That's our new feed. Subscribe, rate, and review. I want to thank Jake Seeley for putting this all together. I want to thank the guys down at SiriusXM for having us down there. We had a great time. Visit the Flex Leagues. Learn all about them at fantasyflexleagues.com. Once again,
and visit fantasyguru.com. Lots of good stuff up there.
Lots of good stuff is coming as well. The site redesign, the overhaul. Great stuff by Graham Barfield, our new senior analyst. He is working on just delving into the stats. We certainly have Mike Horn's offensive identity series. He breaks down the tendencies of every single offense in the NFL. It is golden stuff. Follow Tom on Twitter at FG_Brolley, B-R-O-L-L-E-Y. Follow me on Twitter at FG_Dolan, D-O-L-A-N. Follow the site on Twitter at Fantasy Guru Site. So for Tom Brolley, I'm Joe Dolan. I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Fantasy Guru Podcast. We will have everything you need to know in the show notes. Take it easy, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Stay tuned for 60-second AP News headlines.
AP Update, I'm Tim McGuire. Hillary Clinton is demanding once again that Donald Trump release his tax returns. To reporters writing on her campaign plane, Clinton accuses Trump of a number of questionable business deals over the years.
The list goes on and on. The scams, the frauds, the questionable relationships, the business activities that have stiff workers, refuse to pay small businesses.
Clinton is to be at a rally in Tampa this afternoon. Trump, for his part, is campaigning today in Virginia and North Carolina. AP White House correspondent Julie Pace reports Trump has been able to dial back the off-the-cuff remarks.
He likes to go in front of these big crowds and be more freewheeling and play off of their energy. Now he's going out there with teleprompters and with scripted remarks, and it really is a testament to his campaign leadership that they've gotten him to a point where he's willing to do this for at least a couple of weeks.
AP Update, I'm Tim McGuire.